There's been so many changes this past year. I went through some physical needs myself, and the Lord was very merciful to me. Every time I think about how God just intervened and helped me, I'm very appreciative of God's mercy in my life. And it makes me want to give myself more to Jesus, and I've been dealing with God about that. You know, David talked about giving yourself more to the Lord, and we can all do that. There's always a place where we can let the Holy Spirit have greater control. And I've been praying, Lord, I want to live closer to you after my procedure than I did before the procedure. I don't want to stay on that same plane. And the Lord reminds me of that himself from time to time. Now, I want to lift you onto a higher plane. I want to bring you into a closer walk. And I'm believing that God is doing that and will do that for me. And so thank you for your prayers. And thank God for his faithfulness. Praise God. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 4. I had this thought in my heart tonight, and we only have a few minutes before we have to clear out for the staff meeting. I'm sure that we're all familiar, or many of us are familiar, with this wonderful story of Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. As I've been looking to the Lord about my time here at camp and what portion of God's Word we should look into, the Lord placed upon my heart, I believe, that I ought to take up the subject of the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And hearing some of the things that were said tonight, I just confirmed to me that we are probably on the right track. I trust I am. And that God has prepared our hearts to look into this subject and to profit by it. And so we'll be doing that. But let's just take a look tonight about Jesus dealing with this woman. In the Gospel of John, there's some very interesting teaching that Jesus gives about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, particularly in the Gospel of John. You read the Gospels, and he mentions the Spirit's working there from time to time. But once you get into the Gospel of John, he gives whole chapters to that subject. And here is one story where the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And we're told that Jesus was passing through Samaria. I'm not going to read the whole chapter with you because of the time constraint, but it says that he was tired and wearied with his journey, John 4:6. And so he sat down there by Jacob's well. It was about the sixth hour, which would be about noon their time. His disciples had gone to get some food. Jesus was alone there at the well. And it was just the time that this woman was coming to draw some water. Now, it's not natural for a woman to come out during the hottest part of the day to fill her pitcher with water, her vessel with water, and lug that back home. It seems to indicate that this woman was trying to go to the well when she wouldn't meet up with other people. Now, we can read a lot into this, but I don't think that's too far-fetched. Once you begin to consider the things that Jesus knew about this woman, you see that she wasn't a woman that had a very good reputation in that town, and maybe wouldn't have been comfortable being around the others that gather around that well. So she was there and by herself. She came, and to her surprise, she sees this man Jesus sitting there, and she recognizes, no doubt, by the way in which he's dressed, that he's a Jew. And there's been problem for years between the Jews and the Samaritans. There's been prejudice both ways. And then she's surprised that this Jewish man sitting at this well in Samaria strikes up a conversation with her. And Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." And the woman says, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." In verse 10, Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And the woman says unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Quite a conversation was going on here. Jesus asked her to give him something to drink. He indicated that he had a thirst, and he asked her to draw water for him. She was surprised that he spoke to her and made that request. And Jesus said, well, if you knew who I was, if you realized who it was that asked you for a drink, you in turn would ask him for a drink, and I would give you living water, life-giving water. Water of such that as if you drink it, you would never thirst again, but that water would be inside you a well, a constant source of refreshment and satisfaction all the time. And so she got interested and said, well, I've never heard of any water like that. Give me some. I'd love to have some water like that. And then Jesus goes on to change the subject a little bit, and he says, well, call your husband, and then we'll continue this conversation. And she says, I don't have any husband. And he says, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. So you've really told me the truth. And then she says, oh, I see that you're a prophet. So first she calls him a Jew. Then she addresses him as sir when he starts to talk about, if you knew who I was. And then when he begins to reveal some things about her life that he had no way of knowing, of her past relationships, now she considers him a prophet. So her opinion of him is getting better all the time in this short conversation. And so she says, I don't have a husband. And he tells her, you've had five. And then she says, well, you must be a prophet. How could you know that? And then she begins to talk religion with him. She says, well, we Samaritans, our fathers and forefathers worshipped here in this mountain. And the Jews, they worship in Jerusalem. Where's the right place to worship? And Jesus said, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers of God will worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The time has come that God's not so much concerned about the place where you gather to worship. But God is ushering in something new, and God is more concerned about the type of worship and where the worship comes from as far as your heart is concerned. And he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God's not interested in your ceremonies and your rituals and your outward observances, but God wants your worship to come from the heart. And he wants you to worship by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that satisfies God but as the worship that comes to him by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as I was reading this recently, I began to realize that the Holy Spirit is really the subject of this whole conversation here. Jesus is telling this woman that there's a thirst in your life that nothing in this world can satisfy. The only thing that can satisfy that is the life-giving water that I can give you. And of course, Jesus here was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Later on in John chapter 7, he speaks of living water again. And there very specifically it says, and here he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. But after Christ would be glorified, he would pour out this gift of the Holy Spirit upon those that had received him. whose hearts are open to him. So here Jesus is saying that the thirst within your life, that thirst which you've been trying to satisfy by this relationship and then that relationship and this endless quest for meaning and satisfaction in life and contentment and peace, he says that can only be satisfied by the Holy Spirit. We need to realize that. As young people, as older people, we need to realize that the longing in my heart can only be satisfied by the Holy Spirit through my relationship with Christ. I remember as a young person, I'd grown up in church and I had some touches of God in my life, but when I got into high school, I got interested in certain things and friends. And in high school, things became more readily available to me. Certain sins, my friends would try to entice me or include me. And I remember very definitely that an understanding came into my heart that what I really need in my life is not this which my friends are seeking after. That's never going to bring me any real joy. I just seemed to know that deep down that really was a waste of time ultimately, and that the only one that can really bring me joy is Jesus. And the Lord began to deal with me in that way to get me before I got involved in many things that my friends got involved in. He began to show me that I'm wasting my time. You know, you've been raised in a Christian home, and you know, and he began to make it real to me that what I needed was Jesus. What everybody needed was Jesus. It was only the Spirit of God that could satisfy that longing in my heart. And you know, I've run across some of those friends 20, 30 years later. They're still dying of thirst. But Jesus has come into my life and quenched that thirst and satisfied me over and over again. And he's still doing that. And it's been so wonderful. And then Jesus goes on to explain to her, and there is a thirst in the heart of God which nothing can satisfy, no one can satisfy, but the Holy Spirit through you. God has a thirst. Jesus said, I'm thirsty, and maybe he was naturally thirsty. He was weary, and it was a hot part of the day, and he was sitting there by that well, and he asked it for a drink, but I think there was an indication there of something much deeper. Jesus wasn't just talking about a natural thirst. Jesus was saying, I thirst for fellowship with you. I have a thirst in my heart, but you can't satisfy that thirst. Your worship, your effort to live for God, your religion, your rituals, nothing like that satisfies the heart of God. The only thing that can satisfy that thirst in God's heart is the Holy Spirit. When he anoints your worship, when he gets hold of your life and makes your whole life to become an outflow of worship to him, when you live under that anointing and you're empowered by the Spirit to glorify Christ with your life, that's the thing that really satisfies him. The Lord complains in the Old Testament. He says, I'm so tired of your worship and of your gatherings. They don't satisfy me at all. But he says, but I want a heart that is changed by the Holy Ghost and anointed by the Holy Ghost to give me praise and give me honor. That really satisfies the thirst in my heart. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is the answer to the need in our life and to the thirst in the heart of God as well. And we need to realize that. God, I can never worship you the way you deserve. I could never serve you in a way that would satisfy you. I need the Holy Spirit to do that in my life. And Lord, you have sent the Holy Spirit that I might be filled, that I might come under his control, that my life might satisfy the thirst that God has in his heart over me. You know, sitting here at Pilgrim Camp as a young person, I heard the minister, Brother Gardner, at that time say many times, God longs for you more than you long for him. God is more thirsty for you than you could ever be for him. You know, that did something for me just to hear that. Because I would sit in the meeting And I would think, God really wants me like that? You know, but that just helped me to reach out to him. If it was true that God really wanted me and really thirsted for fellowship with me, then why not open my heart to him? Why not let him fill me and satisfy himself with my life? And so, as we begin to consider this topic of the Holy Spirit, I wanted to start with that thought. You know, there's nothing that can satisfy us but the Holy Spirit. May God make that real to us. And then there's nothing that can satisfy God as I attempt to live for him but that Holy Spirit. That's why I need to be anointed when I come to worship God. I need to open my heart to him and say, Spirit, worship through me. Anoint me. Make my worship acceptable to you. And you'll find that when you're concerned about your worship pleasing God rather than pleasing you, that God has made every provision so that our worship can be lifted onto a plane that really brings him great joy. Praise God. And when God's smile is upon you, you'll feel that in a very wonderful way. And so it's a wonderful story, and maybe you'd like to read the rest of it when you get back to your room. But take that thought to heart. Oh, I'm in absolute need of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing in this world that I need more than the Holy Ghost himself. And the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit is in such rich supply. Jesus offers him to us freely. And you can get filled with the Spirit, and then you can become more filled with the Spirit and more greatly filled with his Spirit all the time. And it's a wonderful journey of coming deeper and deeper into God. And Jesus calls us to that. And here in this place and these days, we can experience in a very real way more of his Spirit's working, more of his Spirit's filling, more of his Spirit's control in our lives. Let's believe him for that and let him have his way.